Open your Bibles up to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. As Freddie mentioned in his announcement, there are a lot of our number that are out sick, a lot are out traveling. That's probably going to be true for the next several weeks. The holidays are going to have people coming and going. In the next couple months, just the time for seasonal colds and flus and all sorts of things like that. Just remember those who are out and those who are better. But even though we've got so many out today, we also have a lot of visitors with us. We're glad you're here and hope you'll come back again and be with us at any time that you might be able to. Back in the back on the bulletin board or the bulletin, it mentions that there's some forms if you'd like to do some things that you have not done this upcoming year. Both they're in the window seal. All the bulletin says is that they're in the foyer, but they're in the window seal right in front of the table there as you come in the door. So those forms for both men and women are there. If you want to take advantage of that, and as this new year comes, we'll put you into the rotation on various things and things that you might be willing to try. No one will question the importance that teaching has. But teaching only benefits those who listen. And listening is a skill that we are expected to develop. Just going to read a couple of just real quickly. Remember when we studied the letter to the seven churches in Asia, there were some phrases that was mentioned to all seven churches continually. One of them appears in verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, talking to the church at Ephesus. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Drop down to verse 11. Now talking to the church at Smyrna. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Drop down to verse 17. Now talking to the church at Pergamum. He that has an ear, let him hear. And that was one of those phrases. That was one of the phrases that was spoken to all seven churches. If you've got ears, use them. It's the point. Not everybody listens as well as other people do. Listening is a skill. Some of us have developed it better than others. But the point is, one thing the Spirit emphasized over and over to the seven churches was, I expect you to listen. I expect you to pay attention. And that's what I want us to look at today. How we can be better hearers. Let's take that phrase and let's apply it to our own lives. Some problems that me and you might have, some very real problems that we'll be familiar with. We probably all have had a dose of it a time or two in our life. Some problems that we might have is forgetful hearers. Turn back a book or two to James chapter 1. We're not going to spend much time on this early section, but just to emphasize a couple of things. Sometimes we're just forgetful hearers. As the saying goes, I could start it, and I guess everyone in here that's above the age of 5 could probably fill in the rest of the blanks. A lot of things go in one ear and out the other. We've all been guilty of being some forgetful hearers. The Bible makes note of that. The Bible recognizes that trait about ourselves. James chapter 1, verse 23, if any is a hearer of the word, and not a doer. He's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. He beholds himself. He goes his way and he forgets what manner of man he was. I don't think it would be a shock that most of us here, if not every one of us here, looked in the mirror this morning. We all got up. We all did what we did. But at some point, I would guess probably all of us, some maybe longer than others, but all of us took a glance in a mirror. And what James is saying is, imagine you look into that mirror and you've got this big black streak running all over your forehead, but we don't do anything about it. We see it, we acknowledge it, and then go on. And he's using that as a forgetful hearer. We hear, but we let the mark stay. We don't act. We don't do anything. That's a problem. The Bible also talks about those, I love the phrase, says that some of us can be dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. What's the opposite of dull? Whether you use a knife or not, whether you carry a pocket knife with you everywhere you go, we all know the difference between a dull knife and a sharp knife. Dull of hearing. The opposite is not sharp. We're not sharp hearers. We're not really tuned in. We're not really paying attention. We're kind of we're given a deaf ear because not a lot of effort's given. Dull ears, just like a dull knife. Just doesn't get a whole lot done, does it? So we can be forgetful hearers. The Bible speaks of that. We can be dull of hearing. The Bible speaks of that. We can have what might be called selective hearing. We hear what we like. We hear what we want to. Carla picks at me sometimes. My hearing's not all that good. It's starting to get a little bit worse. And there's a lot of things she tells me that I don't get. But the joke is, if she whispers five rooms away that she spent $15 at Walmart, I'm probably going to hear that. You know, there are things I catch real quick. And we can all make an application of that. Selective hearing. Sometimes we hear, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we hear what we want to hear. We hear what feels good to us. We hear what we already would appreciate anyway. And other things we don't hear. These are problems. They're real problems. The Bible speaks to these problems. The rich young ruler, was that not selective hearing? He heard something he didn't want to hear, and he walked the other direction. We can suffer from things like this. So what do? You think of all the times in the Gospels when Jesus would in speaking to multitudes, he would preface a question by saying, "Have you not heard? Have you not heard? Have you not heard?" He said that a lot. And the truth is, if I've got forgetful hearing, if I've got selective hearing, if I've got dull hearing, the answer to that question all too often is no. Have you not heard? No, there may be a lot I have not heard, and it's because I'm not very well attuned to listening. My ears don't hear like they ought to. And that's what we're looking at today. Some things me and you can do to hopefully help us in our listening to what God wants us to do and be and live. Our culture plays a part in this. Because we live in a culture where entertainment, I don't think it'd be an exaggeration to say, may be at an all-time high. Our culture, in a lot of ways, is entertainment-driven, and you know that. And it works its way into the church. Just last week, literally a week ago, 7 days ago, when we, after the congregational meeting that we had here, there were several of us standing in the back. Some of us kind of hung around and did some fake talking, whatever. And some of the last groups that were still here, Jesus Guerrero came in. Remember the Hispanic group that meets here late on Sunday afternoons? Jesus came in with his wife. And we were talking back in the back, and he was kind of catching us up on the work and things that was going on. And he made a statement that some of his contacts, he said, they're not panning out very well. And somebody asked him why. And one of the statements he made was, he said, a lot of the people that we're getting, he said, they just want to be entertained. They just want to be entertained. You see, this culture that we live in, it transcends language. It transcends nationalities. It's rampant. And even Hispanic groups are dealing with, show me something. I want to be a spectator. I want to sit like the fan in the stands and now do something for me. He said, they just want to be entertained. The Hispanic church is dealing with the same things. Would it surprise us? Would that surprise us in our culture? And it can work its way into our very belief of what makes good preaching. Have we gotten to the point where even among brethren that we consider good preaching to be interest in preaching? That we consider good preaching, basically the bottom line of whether somebody's a good preacher or not is how well he delivers the message. How well he keeps our attention. Now please, don't think, I'm not saying that we need to see how monotone and how boring we can get. On those times when I'm boring you to death, I promise you, it's not an experiment. I'm not trying to see how long your buttons can be pushed. But it's a valid question to ask. Have we sometimes gotten to the point where simple, plain, passionate preaching just isn't enough? Can we allow ourselves to get to that point? Because culture impacts us. We know that. Can it impact us on something like this? Turn to Acts 17. Let's look at some examples of hearing, listening. Acts chapter 17. We are in the middle of what we refer to as the second missionary journey. Paul has received that Macedonian call, and he's making his way through the cities. In verse 4, when he was in Thessalonica, it says, some of them believed. Drop down to verse 12. This was the next city he went to. This was Berea. In verse 12, it said, therefore, many of them believed. Now, think a second. What has changed in the message from one city to the next? What changed in the message? Let me ask you another question. What changed among the teachers from one city to the next? Because here's what we know. It was Paul and Silas. And what we know is the message was the same. What you've got is the same message spoken by the same messengers, but in one town, some believed, and in another town, many believed. What was the difference? Wasn't the speaker? What was the difference? It wasn't what was being spoken. The difference was some had ears and some heard. Look in verse 10. In that when we're in the city of Berea where it says many believed. Well, let's look at that. In verse 10, it says the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. That's Thessalonica sneaking him out of town. They were afraid he was going to be killed. So he came there. He went to the synagogue, verse 10. And now verse 11. They were more fair-minded. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and they searched the scriptures daily whether they were so. That explains the difference between the many and the some. Many believed in Berea because many were paying attention. Many were searching the scriptures. Many were looking. Many were trying to figure out. Now here's what he said. Now is that what Micah said? Is that what Malachi said? Is that what Jeremiah said? Is that what Moses said? They tested it to see if it was true. Same speaker, same message, but there was a lot of different ears. There was a lot of different hearing going on. There's an old sermon outline that's in a lot of the books that you get that talks about Berea had open minds, open Bibles, and open schedules. Well, that's a pretty good outline. That might be an old sermon outline, but it could still be preached anywhere. Open minds, open Bibles, open schedules. That's all commendable. But what about us? What about us? Turn to Luke chapter 8. And we'll start making some applications. Luke chapter 8. Can you think about all the different passages? Now the phrasing will be different. But think about all the passages that tells teachers to give heed to their doctrine. Think about all the passages, warnings and admonitions and exhortations that tell teachers, you be careful what you teach. You be careful how you teach it. So imagine the generic call of, take heed to what you teach. We're all familiar with that. We're all amen in that, right? Luke chapter 8, verse 18. I'm picking up in the middle of the context, but just look at the phrasing. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. We're all going to amen that teachers need to make sure and take heed to their teaching. Jesus taught that. His apostles and prophets taught that. But that's not what he said right here. What he said right here is that we need to take heed how we listen. We take heed how we hear. So what happens is there's this responsibility that shifts during the while teaching's going on. So whether we're talking about a preaching from like we're doing right now, or a Wednesday night invitation, or a Bible class, or a home study, or a private one-on-one situation, whatever it is, there's this shifting of responsibility from the teacher who has to take heed of the doctrine to the hearer who now has the responsibility of dealing with what they've been taught. Take heed how you hear. We are responsible for what we have heard. So how can we do it better? That's our long introduction, long-winded introduction. He that has ears, let him hear. We've all acknowledged how we've all got our own problems, some things that we might not have been as good a hearers spiritually as we ought to be. But we've been admonished here to take heed to that. Take heed to how you hear. Well, let's do that today. That's the work. That's the intention today. How can we take heed? How can we take heed, rather, to how we hear? Well, let's get started on that. We can take heed, and these are things we looked at. We can take heed by hearing with a desire to learn. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, the initial goal, the underlying goal is, let's listen with the goal of learning something. This room's full of a lot of teachers. This room is even more full of people who have been taught by teachers. We've all been students before. We understand the student-teacher dynamic. The desire of schooling and education and a teaching system, it's not just to go through things. It's not just to check things off. It's to impart knowledge. Whether that's at a preschool level or a fourth grade level or a college degree level, the idea is to obtain knowledge. Why would we think this would be any different? It's not any different. We have to listen with a desire to learn something. That old outline to the Bereans, open mind, open Bible. Those two together can lead to some fruit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, some admonitions, some things that hopefully encourage us more along the lines of hearing with the intent of learning, is let's just make sure we remember the source of all of this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause we give thanks without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, let me paraphrase that, when you listened intently, when you had ears and you heard, That's the fruit of this. When you received it, you listened, you heard, you compared it, you dealt with it. You took heed to it. For this cause we thank God continually, without ceasing, that when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We know that. Mentally we've got this understanding of it. We know this is God's word. But knowing it and knowing it can be different. Just like hearing something and really hearing something can be different. Let's make sure we remember this. To the Thessalonians, that same group, by the way, said only a few of them believed. But the ones that did, here's who they are. What was the difference in all those many in Thessalonica that rejected it, and it said there were a few that accepted it? Here are the few. What did it say about them? They received it as it is, the word of God, not the words of men. They understood it wasn't Paul and Silas. They understood it wasn't just these guys coming in from Jerusalem on a trip. They understood it was from heaven. And the better I get that, the more I understand it, the more I let that just burrow in, hopefully it'll give us a more respect for His Word. It'll give us a desire to learn more about it, because that's the intention. We want to hear with the idea of learning. Look in Acts chapter 10. Not only is it God's Word, but there's also this incredible phrase that's spoken in the house of Cornelius. It almost gets lost in the shuffle. When we think about Acts chapter 10, we look at it in big picture ways, and we ought to. Acts chapter 10 is a big picture chapter. It's when the gospel opened up to the Gentiles, and every one of us in this room better be thankful for that. We would be lost without it. But in the big picture, we might miss some of the small statements. So remember them. Peter, I saw the vision. That's already happened. Contact has been made. He's on his way to the house of Cornelius. He is there. And now Cornelius, as I don't want to call it an introduction, but as before Peter begins to teach, Cornelius kind of sets the stage for what it's all about. In verse 32, let's pick up there. Angel talking to Cornelius. He said, you send to Joppa. And call Simon, whose name is Peter. He's lodged in a house of Simon the Tanner by the seaside. And when he comes, he will speak to you. Now, we want to talk about hearers, right? He said, Peter's going to come. He'll teach. He'll speak. Now, but he with ears have to hear. So look at verse 33. What kind of hearing is Cornelius prepared to do? Immediately, therefore, I sent to you. Cornelius is telling Peter, I did what I was told. You have done well that you have come. Now, therefore, we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded of you. There's another thing that will help us a lot in our hearing. If we can understand like Cornelius did, the presence of God. The Thessalonians, what they understood was, it's God's word. What Cornelius understood was, God is here. God sees. God is aware. Now, if I can get those two things, and not just some mental acknowledgments, but if I can base practices off of that, that is God's word, and He is in the presence, will that impact how I listen? Will that impact my mindset as we engage? Will it help my ears hear a little bit better? Can it help the dullness of my hearing? Can it help the selectiveness of my hearing when I understand it's from God and He sees? It's from God and He knows. When we put what the Thessalonians knew with what Cornelius knew, hopefully that can help us. That can to help us listen better. Listen with a desire to learn. Now, got to go beyond that though. That's not enough. Listen with a desire to act on what we've learned. And that doesn't always go together. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Listening isn't just passive. There's a lot of things that I learned in school, and that's all I can say I did. I just learned them. I memorized them. I got some mnemonic device to help me work my way through a list, and I took the test, and I passed the test, and I got my grade. There's a lot of things me and you have learned, but it really doesn't affect our life. That same thing can be brought into the spiritual realms. We can memorize books of the Bible. We can quote verses. Satan quoted verses, by the way. We can know some trivia. That's not the same thing as letting it impact our life. So we want to study with the idea of learning, but then that is catty-corner. That's backed up with the fact of then acting on what we learn, because it's not passive. Our listening, our ears should not be passive. You remember them? I'm not exactly sure. I would say late 70s, maybe mid 70s. Meatloaf had a really popular song called Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. You remember that song? All over the radio. Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. Well, that might be okay if your name is Meatloaf and you're singing a song. But how does it apply to God's Word? Are you with me in Revelation chapter 1? I can't remember if I've got you there or not. But Revelation chapter 1, let's see if two out of three ain't bad when it comes to God's Word. John on the island of Patmos, he sees a vision, he is told to write things down, and here's the promise. Verse 3, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things that are written in it. I got news for you, if you're a fan of Meatloaf. Two out of three ain't bad in a lot of things, but it doesn't cut it when it comes to spiritual things. Read, hear, and keep. And if all we're doing is two out of three, there is no blessing for us. Verse 3 starts with a beatitude. The blessed are the ones who do them all. Don't just listen. Don't just hear. Don't just read. But take what is read and take what is heard and act it upon. That's where the blessing comes. That's where the happiness, spiritual happiness comes. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Blessed listening involves hearing with a view toward action. The blessing comes with accepting and doing what we've heard. I've got down James chapter 1. I'm not going to turn you back there. We read that earlier. James talked about those. He said, be a doer, not just a hearer. That's the same thing that John said in the letter to the seven churches. But I want us to look at what Jesus said. Luke chapter 10. Start on the outline. I want to take you to a spot, because it'll fit with what we studied this morning. Another conversation, another time, but it's the same conversation, same answer that we studied, obviously, in our earlier study. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him and said, Master, what will I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? He turned the gun, dropped back on him. You tell me. Verse 27, this is the lawyer speaking. He said, you will love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. What would you say to that? He got it. He understood what we studied this morning. The central command was, you love. And if you love, The other laws hang on it. The other laws depend on that. Verse 28, the man got it right. And Jesus acknowledged that. He said unto him, you have answered right. Do it and you will live. Do it and you will live. The man knew the answer. The man gave an A++ answer. And Jesus said, wonderful. Congratulations. Now do it. Live it. Don't just tell me you've read it. Don't just tell me you've heard it. Put it into practice and you will live. What's that infer? Don't put it into practice. And there's no spiritual life promise for us. As a matter of fact, it would be the opposite of that. Study with a desire to learn. But then acknowledge that there's more than just gaining knowledge. It's just more than just rote facts, although they're important. It's more than just gaining information, although that's important. It's gaining knowledge and information with the intention of living it, making changes when they're due, and corrections when they're due. It's not just learning it, it's learning it and doing it. And now here's where it gets really sticky. It's learning it to do it, and then it's making personal applications. And that is very, very challenging. David's one of my favorite Old Testament characters. I love him. And I like reading about him. That time period of Old Testament history just stands out to me. And David's a good man. But when Nathan the prophet came to him with a parable about a sheep, as clear as me and you look back and see that parable, David didn't see it. Do you remember it? Oh, there's a man, he had everything. He had pastures full of this and barns full of this. Oh, he had it all. And then there was this man who had one animal, basically treated it like family. And this rich man who had everything at his beck and call took that and killed it. And David said, that's horrible. I can't believe somebody would do that. I tell you what, we're going to make him pay for that. He's going to pay four times for that. We're going to really lower the boom on him. And it wasn't until Nathan said what? You know what he said. David, you're the man. David, I'm talking about you. This is what you did. David didn't see it till then. Making applications are not easy sometimes for the best of us, because David's better than the best of us. And David couldn't see it until it was pointed out to him. And what we've got to be able to do in that, as hard as it is, introspection can serve us well. And we've got to get rid of, since we're talking about hearing, we've got to get rid of the white noise that kind of blocks us and prevents us from seeing ourselves as we really are. Lessons that ought to cut us to the core don't even get in because we can't see it applying to us. What kind of hearer am I, if that's true? What kind of hearer are you, if that's true? And so if we have this idea of something is preached and something is taught, and we've got the idea of, I hope so-and-so is listening. How about I hope I'm listening? I hope so-and-so is paying attention to that. How about I pay attention to that? Let's make it personal. Make it about me. You make it about you. Let that be how our ears absorb this. How, whatever's being taught, can we be sharp enough as opposed to dull? Can we be open as opposed to selective? Can we just say, tell me? And then can we see ourselves as we make these applications? We got to study with the idea of learning with the idea of doing, and as points are made, we see ourselves. Our weaknesses, our strengths, our struggles, the things that I need to be better at. I have an article that's in the bulletin. Got this several years ago. I don't know how long ago I've had it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it kind of speaks to some of the things we're looking at today. It's called Active Listening by a man named Bill Bryan. I don't know who Brother Bryan is, but here's what he said. He said, two men sit in the same auditorium and listen to the same lessons week after week after week. One man is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. The other man is unstable in all of his ways. One man is productive in the work of the church. The other man is only seen during worship services and is forever silent about the Lord. The first man is diligent in laying up treasures in heaven. The other man's treasures are deeply rooted in this world. And then he asked the question, how can these two men be so different when they hear the same message week after week after week? And then he answers it. He says, perhaps the answer is they're not really hearing the same message. One more sentence farther down in the paragraph. It says, we can sit and listen through hundreds and thousands of sermons without making the needed application or changing wrong behavior. That's exactly right. And we have probably all been guilty of that in the past. That's not the question. The question is not, have we been dull of hearing? Let's admit that we have. The question is not that we may have practiced some selective hearing with spiritual things. Let's admit that we have. The question is not that we've been forgetful hearers. That's not the question. The question is, are we going to continue to be these things? Are we continue to not take advantage and make applications and make the changes? That's the question. And that was the admonition given to the seven churches of Asia, to Ephesus. I know your works. Now listen to me. To the church at Smyrna, I know your works. He with ears will hear. To the church at Philadelphia, he that overcomes, here's what you receive. Now I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. To the church at 4th Street. Could you imagine the Lord sending a messenger to us today? He with ears, let him hear. Could you imagine the Lord, like he said back in Luke? Take heed to how you listen. Because we've seen examples in Thessalonica and we saw examples in Berea where the same message was received in different ways. It was heard in different ways. I'm going to change gears just a moment. Hearing is essential to that, to the initial realm of salvation. Faith can't be obtained without it. Faith comes by hearing. You can't separate hearing God's word from salvation. But it goes beyond that. Someone who hears and obeys that, and it's a lifetime from them. Because not only can we not become a Christian without hearing, we can't live a faithful life without it. We can't serve Him without doing these things, without learning. We can't serve what you don't know. There's the learning. We can't do what we don't apply. When I was younger, best I remember, around elementary school, those my age might remember it. Me and my friends had a saying, I heard that. You guys remember the saying that? Some of the older ones, I heard that. Do we really hear it? Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. It's the manner of some men. I heard that. Oh, yeah. Lay by as you've been prospered with a cheerful heart. I heard that. Did we hear that? Use your talents. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Control your tongue, because it's a fire that sets a whole lot more than what went on in Gatlinburg. Extremely hate evil. Abstain from every appearance of evil. I heard that. Have we heard those things? Or do they go in one ear and out the other? Did we hear them with a dull ear? Did we hear them with an ear that doesn't make application to the individual self? Those are questions I got to answer. Those are questions all of us with ears have to answer, because he with ears has to hear. That's what God wants. That's what God expected. And so, yeah, I heard that, but have I acted on it? I heard that, but have I applied it? And the question, the invitation is, have you? Get your songbooks out. Psalm 67. Song of invitation, Jesus loves me. I heard that. Yeah, he manifested that. He manifested his love for us when he died and shed his blood as an offering. Take advantage of that. Don't just hear it, apply it. Don't just hear it, let it impact us. Confess him, repent, be baptized to wash away your sins. Those of us that are Christians, and we've done that, but here has been a little dull. Applications have been a little spotty and shaky, and we're just kind of making our own thing, doing our own thing. Simon was told, repent of the wickedness that's in your heart. And that's what he did. Simon took advantage. Simon heard that.
God's promised us to forgive us. Take advantage of that. Let's hear that, and let's make every change that we need to while we stand and sing.